WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. Next week, the Film Society of Lincoln Center will present a retrospective on the work of British director Ken Loach. Loach is considered one of England's most uncompromising film directors. He makes films with the hope that they will encourage debate and lead to social change. He started off making documentaries in the 60s and then turned to fiction film, in which he tried to deal realistically with the working class, the unemployed, the disenfranchised, and the homeless. His recent thriller, Hidden Agenda, was about British violations of civil liberties in Northern Ireland. It won a special jury prize at the Cannes Film Festival. His latest film, Riff Raff, is about construction workers. The film opens in many American cities next month. I saw an advance video copy, and it was subtitled, which was helpful because even though everyone is speaking English, their thick accents were hard for me to understand. I wanted to know if the film will be subtitled in theaters.
Yes, it's subtitled in America, and I think they also use that in Australia. I mean, it's a film about working people, and if you're accurate about how they are, then it can be a problem understanding them in another country. I mean, we have the same thing with American films.
Are they ever subtitled in England?
No, because you're the centre of the empire, you see.
yes, we knew that.
you take your language abroad and people have to put up with it. But for we colonists, we have to make it acceptable.
So there's something very disorienting about watching an English language film but having to read subtitles to make out what's being said.
Yeah. I mean, do you need them all the time or do you just refer to them now and then?
I got used to it, so I ended up referring to them a lot, although there's times when I didn't need them. Mm. But there really was a lot that would have been lost on me. Now, part of that was that it was on video. Mm. And, you know, the sound on video is never as good as the sound in a theater.
Right.
Did you know that you would subtitle it when you were making it for, you know, in America?
No. It came up when it was shown at the Toronto Film Festival. But no, it was a decision taken then. And we found that actually, the subtitles helped in that they would crystallize a gag, for example, and the audience would laugh at the punchline when they read it. And so that it actually helped, and it took off the strain of having to listen very hard. And it sort of seemed to support the film when it was shown to that audience. So I didn't mind too much.
Now, the main character in Riff Raff is homeless, and he moves into a squat, into an unoccupied apartment. Are lots of people having to do that in England now?
There's a lot of people are homeless, particularly single people. If you go to London, you see them in cardboard boxes. It's a major problem, and it's something which has increased dramatically in the last decade. The point of Stevie is that he's a building worker. I mean, he has the power with others to actually make homes. And a lot of building workers are out of work. So we've got people in cardboard boxes and building workers sitting on their bottoms. And that's the absurdity of the mess we're in.
What are some of the ways you've seen England change since you started making movies about England?
Oh, it's changed a lot. And largely got worse. I mean, the biggest change has been over the last decade and the ravages of the Thatcher regime, where, I mean, really, when we started in the 60s, by and large, people expected to work. And we did a film called Kes about a boy who's got a very imaginative side to him, but the odds are he'll go into a fairly routine job. And the point of the film was to say this kid has a lot of richness in his imaginative life, but that'll never be reflected in what he's able to do. But the point now is that people just face a lifetime of unemployment or very sporadic employment. I mean, if we went from a few hundred thousand people out of work to 3 to 4 million, and that's been constant for the last 10 years. So it's a much impoverished, culturally impoverished place now, and a sense of despair and defeat and pessimism is rife, and that's say that's the legacy of our wretched government.
My guest is British film director Ken Loach. More after this break. This is Fresh Air. We're back with film director Ken Loach. You started working with the BBC. Was that a good place to get started with your type of filmmaking?
Yeah. I mean, we couldn't have made the films anywhere else apart from television.
Because the film industry wasn't doing very well.
Yes, and also because television, as you know, is voracious, and it demands a lot of films or programs. And so, I mean, the group I was with were turning out a program every week. And 1 year I made six, started off as plays and actually became films by the end of the year. We were making films. And to have to turn out that amount of work quickly, I mean, it's a very privileged position because you learn as you're doing it.
Is the BBC still a good place for filmmakers?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it doesn't have the sort of same freewheeling confidence that it had when I started. I mean, it's much more nervous now and much more constrained, I think. I haven't worked there for some time, but that's my impression from seeing what they're doing and also talking to the people who are there.
Your new film, Riff Raff, has gotten funding from England's Channel 4. How would you describe Channel 4?
Channel 4, when it began, was supposed to be a channel that would, first of all, work with independent producers and production companies, and secondly, promote what they called an alternative way of looking at the world, or an alternative to the mainstream films, and they would take a different point of view. I mean, that hasn't worked out altogether. It's subject to the same constraints as the other commercial channel, and in fact, I along with many other people, suffered considerable censorship at their hands. In documentaries.
What kind of censorship?
Four programs made in the early 80s as a critique of trade union leadership from the left, saying why hadn't they organized and fought the rise in unemployment? Why hadn't they mobilized the resistance that was there to make a political attack on the government, to actually defend people's jobs, defend people's working conditions? They didn't do that for various reasons, and the programmes were an exploration of that. They were stopped, but after a campaign by a couple of union leaders who we criticised, and that was just after Channel 4 had started. So that was a fairly early lesson in the realpolitik of television broadcasting. But in other respects, they've been very bold. They've had a go. And they've been very good for fiction. I mean, without them, there really would be no British film industry at all, because they've allowed films to be made, which they then wouldn't show on television for a period, so you could put it in the cinema and it could have a cinematic life, and that was very important.
The film that you made before Riff Raff was called Hidden Agenda, and that was about a pair of human rights workers from America who go to Northern Ireland at, you know, looking for human rights abuses. And one of them is meeting with a member of the IRA, and they're both shot down by British security forces, and the government creates a story to cover the murders up. What was it like for you to shoot in Northern Ireland?
We couldn't get insurance to shoot in Belfast for the whole film, so we had to shoot some of it in London. But we went as a documentary crew, and of which there are quite a few there, and we went as a fairly small crew. and tried to shoot as unobtrusively as we could. But the, I mean, the point of the film was to tell a story which wasn't being told, which is that the British presence in Ireland is very corrupting. It's a very dirty war, and that the corrupting influence spreads into the, even into the British, into the British politics of the rest of the United Kingdom. And it's an untold, the whole business of what's going on in Ireland is an untold story.
Did you feel that that film was the victim of censorship?
Well, the British are very sophisticated about these things. I can't point and say this film is censored, because it wasn't. But what happened was that when it, before it had opened, a right-wing MP said that it was an IRA propaganda film. So it was he said it was the IRA entry to Cannes. Well, of course, it wasn't. It doesn't deal with the IRA as such. But it got tagged that, so that a lot of cinemas then, when it came to showing it in Britain, thought of it as the IRA film and said, well, we can live without this. You know, we don't really want to show that. It was the time of the Gulf War, and we don't want to show something which attacks Britain. And so they wouldn't show it. I mean, it did quite well everywhere else, but the sort of smear stuck.
When one of the main characters, played by Brad Dourif, the human rights worker, is in Northern Ireland, there's a parade going by the window of the room that he's in. And he looks out the window and he sees that there are a lot of British soldiers looking through their guns as the parade goes by. And he finds that experience just really unnerving. You could tell it just kind of sends a chill down his spine. Did you have that reaction yourself?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it comes as a shock to anybody who goes to the north of Ireland, into a city like Belfast, and sees the British Army on the streets using their guns as telescopes, looking to the telescopic sights to see what's going on. And you see the soldiers in shopping areas and where there's small children, and keeps in the gun being raised to their eyes. It certainly shocked Fran McDormand and Brad and Mai Zettling and the French actor who was there, the four members of the team who went and did what a human rights group would do and took statements from people of their accusations of brutality and the rest. And it is a very shocking place. I mean, you don't really expect to go to a city that's supposed to be in the United Kingdom and be at the wrong end of a rifle, do you?
Now, someone whose career parallels yours in a way is Stephen Frears. He was making films that were shown on the BBC for many years, but he's kind of crossed over to Hollywood. He directed My Beautiful Laundrette, and directed the more Hollywood film Dangerous Liaisons, and directed Hero more recently. Is that something you would like to happen to you?
Well, I think it's very difficult to work where you're basically a tourist, is my problem. I mean, I think it's, you know, now I come here, I don't really understand the nuances of what's happening. I mean, I see what happened as a tourist. In Britain, I think I've some sense of what things mean, of the subtleties of the exchanges that are happening, and you know the appropriate words to say and the resonances they have. I think it's very difficult to work outside the area where your intuition operates. The other problem is that that there are examples of directors who have come from Europe and worked in Hollywood, and they end up becoming American directors. It seems that what made them good in their own country gets lost under the pressure of the industrial process. And, you know, I'm not sure I'd be able to withstand that, in fact, because a lot of probably more eminent people than I have signally failed, it seems to me.
Ken Loach, I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
Okay, thank you. It's been really enjoyable. Thanks a lot.
Ken Loach's new film, Riff Raff, opens in many cities next month. A retrospective of his work begins next week at Lincoln Center in New York. This is Fresh Air.